Well, this morning we're going back into our teaching again. I assume this is the last one we're going to do on crucifying the flesh. So, the Lord hasn't spoken to me beyond this, so we're just going to go here unless He says something else. I don't know. We'll see. Hallelujah. What happens from here today? But we're going to look in these areas, and you know, I thought this morning as I always think. you start teaching in these areas, and it's amazing how many people don't show up. Now, you know what? But I'm trying. Now, people get uncomfortable with this kind of teaching. People don't like to. These are not happy. I mean, I've heard from big name ministers talk about it. You know, and ministers about you get into these areas and that stuff, and people don't like to hear it. They don't like to. Jerry Seville said in his church, he said, whenever I teach and go into these areas about commitment and dealing in these areas, he said, we always have people leave the church. Always. Why? I mean, because people are going to gravitate to the churches. Fleshly people are going to gravitate to the church that tells them they're all right. That's what they do. And there's a percentage of people that don't want to grow. They have no intention of growing up spiritually. They have no intention in it. And there's plenty of voices out here who tell bad people that they're good. You know, there's always those voices. And, you know, and I'm not preaching this stuff for just for you guys. This stuff's for me, you know, because you always have to deal with your flesh. Now, we're going to go over to, we were last week, and we're going to turn back to these scriptures, the foundation of what we're talking about right now in Romans, the 12th chapter. And in Romans, the 12th chapter, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read again to us. We've been on these, and we're going to continue on these. But in Romans 12, chapter verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. I'm not going to go back and read the scriptures, but we talked about and looked at scriptures talking about it's your reasonable service of worship. In other words, and we'll read it from the Amplified Bible. But we dealt with the subject of worship God. We worship God not just by singing some songs on a Sunday morning. We do it daily by our conduct, by not living in the flesh. That's your worship to God. And last week we got over to the second verse where it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in the Amplified, I'm going to read this to you, the Amplified. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service of spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. And so we dealt with that. Now, we're talking about, especially in the area, because if you don't renew your mind, there's no way that you can bring your body in line. You won't do it. And this is why we have to teach on the subject and we have to look at scriptures. People are not going to live right just because you think they ought to live right and they might know a little bit of something about it. It's just like in anything else. It's like, you know, we've spent a lot of time you teaching concerning faith and healing and all these kind of things. But, if people are having trouble with their flesh and living, that means they need a lot of teaching in that area. There needs to be a lot of teaching because it's not going to change without teaching. One of the things we got into the church world, especially, we get prayer out lopsided. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about this years ago. I heard it when I was a young Christian. And I followed the pattern of it. I learned about it from this. He was going to a church to minister, and the pastor said to him, at this church, he said, for the past 2 years, we've been holding prayer meetings, praying for movements of the Spirit of God. And he said, we've been praying and praying, he said, now for 2 years. And he said, if anything's changed, he said, I don't know it. And Kenneth Hagin just asking, are you teaching about the move of the Spirit? Are you teaching about the gifts of the Spirit in operation? He said, well, no. He said, well, don't expect anything to happen. Most of the church world thinks everything's going to change by prayer. 99%, you know. I've heard ministers say that the most important thing you can do is pray. If you don't know nothing, that might be the worst thing you ever did. Your unbelief in prayer might be the thing that's hurting you. You know, we have so much religious stuff that is said with no thought to Scripture. If you don't know what the Bible says about things, praying ain't your answer. Praying's not the answer. Number one on the book, the number one that the Bible deals with is getting knowledge. You want a successful prayer life? Get knowledge of the Word of God. I have never met a person who was really an intercessor. Now, there's a lot of people call themselves that because they pray a lot. You're not an intercessor because you pray a lot. You're an intercessor because you know the Word and know how to pray. You know how to yield to the Spirit of God according to the Word. You can get over in areas of the Spirit and end up yielding to wrong spirits. Christians do it. The Lord showed me how it happened. How it happens. What happens? People get over pushing into things where God is not moving to do, and people want it done, and they get over there and push and push. They leave the Word of God, and they want to have their will, their purposes, and their plans carried out. And the devil will accommodate you. And so, you know, our prayer life, this is one thing, it's why you want to know the Word of God. Get knowing the Word. Now, we're talking about this. One of the things we're supposed to be is we're supposed to be not conformed to the world. In other words, don't be conformed to the way the world thinks. Now, and understand, he says, don't do it. But we need to understand this from a natural standpoint. We've all been trained in that. We were all raised to be conformed to the world. You know? Most people like being conformed to the world because they don't like, you know, people say, it cracks me up because most people say, I want to be different. I want to be myself. And usually that's the last thing they ever want to be. They're trying to conform to what other people because they're afraid somebody might not like them. Today we have parents. Oh my God, they're so afraid their kid ain't going to like them. So they, you know, they just conform to whatever their child does to keep them happy so they can have whatever, you know. We can't do that kind of stuff. So people are so insecure. So one thing is I learned, security comes from the Word of God. A secure life. Security comes from the Word of God. When I started getting in the Word of God, I came to the point, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. This, it don't matter anymore. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, not any of you. So your opinion don't count. You get into that thing and understand. We're not trying to be mean people, but we can't let those things bother. Why? It limits us. When we set our performance to please people, we can't do that. And right now, this is the whole thing. This is a big battle today. People trying to get conforming. And both sides, I think, are as bad out as the other. We don't have any people stand up free. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. I know what God says about things and whatever's going on in the country. I know what God says. And I'm not interested in the next pundit that comes along and whoever else and God thinks he knows something or something. I'm not interested. Because too many are telling things and saying things. Naturally, they're right. But if you line it up with the Word of God, they're not right. You know, I'm tired of people telling me what's wrong with our country. I know what's wrong with our country. I know spiritually what's wrong with our country and why this stuff's going. And you can go to all that other stuff and spend your time all you want in it, and it ain't changing it. Until you do some things spiritually, until we get some people that are right, you ain't going to have right stuff happening in the country. And it all starts on a way of thinking. And we talked about this last week. There's a transformation to be able to take place. It says be transformed. And we said about what that word is. That word is where we get our word metamorphosis from, is that term that's used in other words. And we, you know, they always say, you know, you talk about, well, it's a, like, you know, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. You know, that's a metamorphosis. In other words, there's a change that's supposed to take place that's supposed to turn our minds into something completely different. Most Christians never come to that place. They never get a mind that's really different. They get some facts and figures, but they still operate in the same type of mind to thinking. They get some other things about God, but they just mix it in there, add it into their stuff, but they never really get a transformed mind. Because number one, it takes time. You know, I had 30 years of training my mind to the world system. I don't know why Christians think you're going to get saved and you're going to turn around and come to church on Sunday and somehow you're going to end up with a transformed mind. It ain't happening. You ain't going to come to church on Sunday and have that happen. I can do things and give you some information and stuff, but it's going to take work on your part. I know I spent a lot of time and I spent a lot of years working on my mind. I spent a lot of time working on my... God spent a lot of time trying to change Ed's mind. God... And you got to do it. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to get it. It's not some casual thing. It just takes place. I mean, still to this day, I listen to stuff. I listen to teaching over and over. I read books. I meditate. I read the Word of God. I look into it for myself and study. I do that. I do a lot of that. I do a lot of why? Because it's a constant thing of working on this mind of mine. Why? Because we're trained in certain ways. And you know, if anybody comes rise to the point and think they've arrived, well, you've already missed it. You're gone nowhere. You haven't arrived. It's a constant. This renewal is constant because the mind of God is so far out of reach from the standpoint of how we think. And to getting into that, it takes time and work and effort. We're going to be spending an eternity at that. If you don't like this, you're going to hate heaven. If you want to be the same dummy you were here and be there and think, oh, it's going to be good and I'm just going to sit on a cloud somewhere and, you know, we're going to sit around, yeah, you know, we're going to have a good time. You're not going to like it. You're not going to go to hell with your friends. And I'm serious. I mean, it's like there's a change, there's a renewing, and we gotta get ourselves over. Something's got to change. It's right now in the church world, there's so much perversion in teaching. They take certain truths, but they've carried them to places they should not be. And that doesn't renew your mind. It does nothing, pervert you into ways of thinking that are wrong. And that's why staying in line with the Word of God. I want to read this from Romans, the 8th chapter, concerning this. It says, in Romans 8 chapter and verse 5 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So another, now I want you to get this. He said, "But for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." You know, you need to understand this. We talked some this last week. You cannot renew your mind just by sitting down and listening to teaching and things and stuff. You got to put into practice and do. Because he said, the ones who live according to the flesh, their mind gets set on that. So you can listen to all the teaching you want here. You can go home and listen to teaching. But while you're out doing your everyday life, if you're living just according to the flesh, that's what your mind's going to follow. We talked about it last week, and you know, because the Lord's been having me getting real blunt about these things, dealing your areas of healing. I know why healing don't work for a lot of people. Because many people want divine healing. But what the average Christian does is this. When something comes along physically, they start doing physical things to try to correct it. They go to the doctors, they get all these different things done, and when they find out whatever it is, and if it's not working or getting corrected, then they take God. And this I know, their mind has never become renewed. If you get your mind renewed, the first thing you'll do is go to God. First thing you'll stop and hit the brakes on. You won't think about something else. In my first 3 years in Christianity, I spent a whole lot of time, in fact, the majority of my time was spent in the subject of healing. God really moved me over into that. And I got to the thing where I'll tell you what, man, the first thing on the list was God. Number one, I didn't do nothing without talking to God about it concerning health or anything else, even with my family. See, you're not going to enter the place of divine healing with not operating it. If you're going to continue to move toward things natural, understand, God will operate with you on the course you take, not the course He wants. He never operates with you on what He wants. These people, I only want what God wants. Well, then why don't you do what God wants? But they don't even know what God wants. It's like the Lord told me concerning finances. I said, well, how far should I go with this? He said, that's not up to me. That's up to you. How far do you want to go? I said, oh. See how these people, and this is one of the religious things. See, people's minds aren't renewed. Today we're taught, you do all these other things, and when you need God's help, then you go. God's number one. God is number one. If you want the divine power, see this transformed mind. Who would think of doctor first if they thought God was really a healer? Now think about it. You know, I've had to judge myself on things. stop and say, you know, well, we believe God's great. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a good thing to say, but it's another thing to live. This guy's meddling again. God told me to meddle today, so we're meddling. I'm going to meddle in some things. In other words, our actions, what we do, we need to understand this. You want to see the miraculous? You're going to have to act toward the miraculous. You're going to have to act toward God. He's the miraculous one. You can't act toward the natural and expect the miraculous. See, we got it all confused. This is why the renewing of the mind. There needs to be a metamorphosis take place. You and I need a completely different mind. A different thinking. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're not talking about looking out of here at His creation and seeing what He created. We ain't singing songs about the trees and the birds and all that. That's nice. He created them. But the kingdom of God is an unseen kingdom. It's an unseen kingdom, and you have to live like there's an unseen kingdom that you belong to. In this building today, there's angels, there's demonic beings, they're right around us in here in this place. They are here. God's, the Holy Ghost, lives inside of me. I can't see Him. So if you're living by the natural, and the natural is what generally moves you, you have no consciousness of the reality around you. When Kenneth Hagin made this statement, I heard him say this. He said, majority of Christians, if God ever opened their eyes and they saw into the spirit realm and saw all the demon activity around them, he said, they would literally, now he said this literally, he wasn't saying, you know, as a figurative statement, he said literally they'd die of fright. Christians don't have a clue. They don't have a mind. Their mind is attached to this world. When I first got born again, when the Lord finally let me go to a church, I went to this church. I thought, oh, this is really good. God's going to let me go to a church and these people are spirit-filled and all this stuff. So I go there to this church, became the most disappointed guy I was around. I thought, God, why'd you send me here? These people had all been, I'm a brand new Christian. These people have been born again for years. And the realm of the spirit wasn't real to them at all. Things of the spirit weren't real to them at all. They knew how to talk a lot of stuff and say a lot of things. But it's number one. See, I can always tell by what a person does whether they're hooked over in a spirit or not. You can always tell. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be. If you know the Word of God, you know whether people are walking in spiritual areas or not. You don't have to turn around and come up with some kind of, I don't need some move of God to tell me. It's obvious. It's obvious to see if people living by what they see or whether they're living by the unseen. It's absolutely obvious. It's easy to check that out. That ain't hard to figure. I can tell if I'm living by the unseen or the seen. I've had to repent already. Haven't you? Or maybe you should. Maybe you haven't been repenting. You oughta. It's good preaching. We want to walk in the Spirit, folks. So we find out, in other words, the way of our actions. The biggest things to understand about, you know, we want to sit down. Everybody needs training in the Word to find out what the Word says. But you must practice the Word to change your mind. Your mind will never be changed till you put it into practice. It'll never be changed. The two run together. They're tied together. See, the Spirit of God says here through the Apostle Paul, for those who live according to the flesh, what they do, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, what do? They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In other words, they're living. In other words, what they're living, what they're walking in, what are you living in? What are you doing? What you're doing? Are you living like the spirit realm is real or not? Are you living like the unseen realm is the realm that changes things over in this realm or not? See, we were much more, when I came into the kingdom, when I got born again back in 1980, people were much more tied over to the unseen realm than today. I mean, the majority of people that I know when I came into the kingdom from them today walk less in the spirit than they did back then. You know, they got over and got smart, started knowing things, started prospering a little bit in life, and now they're following. They're just walking along with what everybody else does and everything else does. They have their nice religious stuff. Churches that were really following things of the Spirit, they don't anymore. They don't do it. They're walking, just doing their stuff. They're out here doing nice, not bad people. I mean, they ain't out here trying to kill nobody, raping, stealing. They ain't doing none of that. But you know what? Spiritually, they're dead. Don't even know it. They're spiritually dead. Well, see, if we can't get things from the realm that you can't see to manifest in this realm, you know this, you're not in contact with it. It's easy! This isn't some kind of rocket science, folks. I don't care what God can do. It's of no value to me if I can't get Him to do it. It's of zero value. It has no, it doesn't matter. Like Randy Greer keeps saying this, it doesn't matter what you know, it's what you do with what you know. That's what counts. What do you do with what you know? What you do with what you know changes everything. So you got to fortify within yourself what you know is to put it into practice. Look, natural life is identical. Let's put it this way, and just to use some examples here. The Lord had spoke to me about this yesterday of doing this. But there's people, just to get this over to you. Now we have, Mike's an appraiser. That's what he does. Now, how many years have you been in the appraisal? You 25, 30 years he's been in the appraisal business. And I mean, you know, Mike's at the top of this stuff now, you know, and because, now, number one, Mike has had a ton of training. He's had a lot of training over the years. But you know, Mike's success isn't in how much training he had. It's been his practice of what he's done has made him good at it. Because there's people who have had the same training Michael's had, and they're not as good at it. Now, one thing is I know this about from the standpoint of Mike. Mike is very meticulous about doing things right. On his job, he's a perfectionist. We have very few perfectionists in Christianity today. The average Christian is just a general Christian. Perfecting this thing ain't the thing that people do. But the whole thing of it is, we can say this. Mike is literally an expert at what he does. He's an expert. He is. He's more of an expert than a lot of people they call experts today in things. You know, you turn, I love to always go to the look at the news things and get a big laugh because they'll put these people on that are experts. And these people don't even qualify. Some of them in the field of what the earth they're supposed to be an expert on. You know, because some guy worked in a certain thing and that they'll have him on as an expert. Well, you ain't working with the guys now that are doing the things. You don't know squat, you know. You ain't an expert. This is just blowing wind. Now, Mike's an expert. I mean, now he even has his own business. He's an expert. And what they do is other people do their work and then they turn around and send it to him to get it corrected. That's what they do. Why? He's the expert. And all those other guys that think they're really good are not. Why? Because they got to send it to the guy who really knows how to do it to find out if it's right. But how did he get there? He had a lot of doing. I've known Mike over the years. A lot of doing. A lot of doing. A lot of working at this thing. A lot of educating himself. A lot of training himself, not sitting around. Mike wanted to be good at what he does. You know, one of the biggest problems that most of you have right here is there, you don't really dedicate yourself to be good at what you need to be doing and what you do even in the natural, your jobs. I found out this a long time ago. God looks at you according to what you're doing. If you're sort of lazy, not really doing things, and I'm going to tell you what, don't expect God to move for you much in doing things, because God looks about a disciplined life is a hugely important thing. So one thing is I learned, God expected me to become an expert on any job that I had to set myself to do that the best. I owed it to the people I work for. If you don't, you're a slouch. Something wrong with you. Number one, you don't walk in love. If you care for your employer, you become the best at it. See, people need to know this. Sitting around, you know, well, do a little of this, that. People don't become experts. There's one thing I found out this about experts in life. They're always needed. People that aren't needed. See, you need to get a job at a place. If you're not an expert, you need to get a job at a place where they turn around and promote you by your, you know, how long you worked there. You know, you've been there a long time, then they'll promote you because you've been there a long time. I know I worked with that. I used to tell them at Reese Candy Company, I'd say, man, we always end up with the worst people on jobs because we have to take the guy who's been here the longest, and there's some of them at times the worst people we got. We ought to be able to promote people on the basis of intelligence and being able to work. I have no interest in on who's been where a long time. I have no interest in it whatsoever. If the guy's been there a long time, smart and sharp, good. Let's promote him. But he ain't been, send him out, you know. Turn around, just put him out doing something, you know, menial, where he don't bother everybody else. Folks, I'm teaching about some spiritual things. See, you got to learn to discipline yourself. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Let me read this to you. This is what Peter wrote, and I want to read it to you because it'll be helpful for you. Because one of the things that I learned about being studious concerning things of the Spirit is by being studious about the things of the natural that are around me.
The guy made this statement. He said, if you don't take care of what you have, God will probably not give you anything better. And he made this statement. He said, there's people, you know, they need a new car. They want to believe God for a car. He said, they don't take care of the car they have. They don't wash it. They don't look after it and that kind of stuff. He said, don't be surprised God don't give you nothing else. Spiritual integrity shows up in the natural. There's nobody who's spiritually developing who's lazy. Because there's no laziness in God's kingdom. There's workers. The Bible says I'm a worker together with Him. It didn't say, you know, I'm a guy who just tags along and whatever, you know. I said, most Christians, they're just tags along. They're guys just trying to trip Jesus up all the time. Because all they do is walking on His heels and tripping Him. Workers together with Him. You see, there's an integrity that we have. It shows up in the natural. A person with spiritual integrity always has natural integrity. A person who doesn't have natural integrity has no spiritual integrity. See, this stuff ain't hard to figure out. You know, I don't need a special call of God to figure this out. I read the Bible. That's a new thing in the church world today. That's something that's really new. That's why people, they can't figure things out. I can judge myself quick. What have I been doing? I just don't know if I'm in faith or not. Oh my God. When I hear that statement, I mean, my God, why would you talk so dumb? You just admitted you weren't. Didn't even notice it. If you don't know you're in faith, you're not! Dear God! I mean, what? Over the years I've had this, and you know, and God don't let me slap people. And boy, you want to? Say, what is wrong with you? Now listen here, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 13 says this, therefore, he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance. In other words, when you didn't know any better, you're supposed to know better now. Today, we're taught to live in ignorance. The church world teaches, you know, we have a grace. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry. You just stay in ignorance. He says, verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, not in some of your conduct. He said you're to be holy in all your conduct. Why? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Do you think you can do that? See, if God told you to be holy and you can't, God just perpetrated a fraud there on us. Now, if God said, I can be holy and I can live it, I can. So I can't make an excuse. If I miss it, I got to stop and say, I blew it. I can't stop and say, you know what, God, we just can't do this. I'll tell you, it's just, we can. But I want, what I want to do is I want you to read, I'm going to read to you verse 13 from the 20th century New Testament, because I really like this. Because it really, it just puts it right where it's at. Now, when we have it's sort of like, you know, it's a bit archaic speaking to us to gird up the loins of your mind. But I like the way they say it, because they just say it to us the way as Paul was talking about, Peter was talking about here. What it says is, therefore, concentrate your mind. What? Concentrate your mind with the strictest self-control and fix your hopes on the blessing that is coming for you at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do? Concentrate our mind. You're going to have to do that. It's going to take some concentration. It's going to take a real fixing of your mind. It says what? With the strictest self-control. Well, you're not going to do that and let the flesh do what it wants. That will not happen. The flesh cannot do what it wants. This self-control thing. You see, we become experts at things. It's one of the things that I've known. It's just like, say, with now Conrad here works for someone who, you know, this company, they make furniture. And do you still do the finishing and that kind of stuff? Okay. So, in other words, the company makes, I mean, they make, if you go to places that sell their furniture, it's not cheap. It's expensive furniture, you know. You don't go down to Big Lots and buy stuff that they make. you don't do that. If you find one of them at Big Lots, man, you're going to get a deal. I mean, that's what they're. But let's say this. Now, I'm sure when he started off there, there was people showed him how to do things, and he had to learn over time. But you know, he got good at what he did because he did it over time of doing it and doing it and doing it. Now, he must be really good at it because they sell the furniture in stores and charge a lot of money. So he can't be doing bad jobs on this stuff. So we could say, when it comes down to the finishing end of that stuff of the furniture thing, he's an expert on it. And the fact of it is, if I was going to go ask about finishing furniture, I wouldn't go to the appraiser, Mike, would I? No. He knows about eating at tables, sitting on chairs. There, some of their furniture. There you go. But see, he's become an expert in that end. So if I wanted somebody to find out, I don't go to somebody who don't do it. I can't understand this. Why somebody would go to somebody, and I see this in the church world all the time, going to somebody who don't know a thing about healing, asking them about healing, going to churches, sitting wanting to know the healing, and don't know a thing about it. What on earth? Sometimes I think Christians are just dumb as a stick. You learn by going to the people who became experts. Now, he didn't become an expert because somebody told him what to do over years of practice and doing that. He's got an expertise in doing it. And you're going to find out. It's just the same way with our flesh, bringing it in mind. It takes time to get your mind under control, to practice the word and practice till you get good at it, till your mind becomes to think in a certain way, whether it's healing or finances or anything like that. You just automatically think a certain way. You have a way that you have set concerning the spirit that you automatically go to. He doesn't turn around and give him a piece of furniture. Well, I'll tell you today, I want to do it this way. You know, this is what we're going to do. That's Christianity today. Christianity is, well, this is just the way that I am. Well, don't brag about your stupidity, you idiot. It's just the way I am. Dear God! What they just told you is, I ain't going to change. I'm staying stupid for the rest of my life. This is the way. What are you talking about? This is about changing, folks. When I came into the kingdom, we were told we were going to change. We were going to be something else. Today, it's the big bragging is, well, you know, we're all just different. When it comes to the kingdom and its operation, you're not different. Healing don't work different for one person than another. Deliverance don't work different from one to another. Salvation doesn't happen to somebody different than another person.
Well, this is the way I believe it. I'm really not interested. What's the Bible say? See, we got to come to this place, the transformation. And a transformation, if you sit down and you take, say, Mike, and you take Conrad, the years of working to become good at what you do, the practice that you put in. You know, like, how many years, like, Lozer, did you work on Volkswagens? 48 years. Now, if I want to know about a Volkswagen, would I go to a Chevy dealer? But there's one thing. There's a load of Volkswagen people I'd never go to. But there's one thing. But see what Mike's experience. Now, Mike has had classroom training. He's had to attend classes, courses. He always had to do that. But you know, Mike became good at what he does by his practice of taking that information and putting it to work over the years, doing it on the job with the cars of working at it. That's how he got good. He didn't get good at it because he went to class. This is why sitting in church, I can give you information. What are you doing this week? If you ain't doing nothing with it this week, forget it. Nothing's happening. It's what you do with it. This is what people need to come to the place to understand. We got to get. Somehow there's been a barrier that just, it stops. It's like, well, I know this and that. I don't care. I'm interested in what you can do, not what you know. Because what you can do is going to prove what you know. See, we take like Wes back here. See, Wes is, he has an expertise in an area. And he didn't end up there overnight. He didn't just start out being good to go into a restaurant and doing all that stuff in the kitchens and those hoods and all that and design and all that stuff. You know, he just has a natural talent. It's like Tiger Woods said one time, a guy came to him and said, you know, you just have a natural talent with golf. He said, it's amazing all the hours I've had to practice with this natural talent. See, we got so many dummies in life walking around. People so ignorant, they don't know. You know, it's like we were in a church one time, very large spirit-filled church, and we were going to it for a while. Our daughters, when we first had to have the kids, wanted to sit with us at the church. And one of the things, now they were just really little. And, you know, Elena probably wasn't even maybe a year and a half old. But we'd go in and sit down in church and listen to Elena, and they were with us sitting there. And they had learned because we trained them at home, how to sit down in one place. See, if you don't ever do that at home, don't expect your kids to do it when they're away. They don't do it away when they're allowed at home to do whatever. They're going to act out outside just like you let them act at home. That's the way it is. You know I was trained by my parents, you know. We weren't just crazy in the house. We weren't allowed to do that, you know. My God, you'd have woke up 2 weeks later, you know. You'd have just, they would have talked with you, you know. But anyhow, after the service over, here comes this lady, you know. I mean, just dumb as a stick. Sitting in this church for years. I found out later, this woman had gone there to church for years, listening, ain't heard a thing. She walks up and says, you're so fortunate to have such good children to just sit there. They sit and we're just so good. And I looked at her, I said, yeah, I said, we're awful parents. We don't ever do right by them. And they just turned out that way. Isn't that amazing? All the years of her sitting in that church, that lady had learned nothing. Spiritually, she was dumb as a stick. Stuff don't just happen. I've learned over the years, it don't just happen. Somebody's doing something. And we have to understand these things. See, we have too much in life of where people are not becoming expert at nothing. They're not developing at anything. This is one of the things that I think is terrible a lot of retired people, because They retire. They just quit in life. They turn, ain't doing nothing. And I tell you, I have never met any of them that aren't in spiritual decline. I've watched ones and watched Christians that retire. I've watched this, and they retire, and they after a while, you know, they're not at things and doing things, and they aren't working stuff. And I watch them over time. Spiritually, they become as bad as they went into spiritual retirement too. I watch them all the time, and they become dumb as a stick spiritually. You're not going to stay where you're at. Nobody in a profession stays where they're at when you leave the profession. You don't stay where you're at. You never do. You come back to it, you're never as good at it as what you were. It takes you time to get back into it again, and maybe need some more training and stuff. It never works. Spiritually, you can never retire. It can never happen. You never arrive. When you arrive at a place you think you're doing good spiritually, you're set yourself up right now for a decline. Because I will guarantee you, it won't be long, and you'll be doing less spiritually than what you're doing now. Jesus says, what even you have will be taken from you. This is a workout. We are called in this earth to continue to work and labor at this thing. We're called to continue to work and labor at this thing. We're continuing. See, there's progress in this earth. In this earth, you and I are supposed to be performing things. In other words, becoming good at it. You know, you change something in life, you're going to something else, you're leading to, become good at it. Don't get yourself over, well, you know, I can do this or I can do that. You become sharp in the stuff that you're supposed to be doing. There's one thing, as I've learned, concerning the Word of God. That's why I've never backed off from it, because, you know, I know a lot of the ministers I've been around, they've come slouches. As they get older up in the ministry and that stuff, they do less study, they do less things, they do less, and they don't really. Oh, they're standing up saying nice stuff. There's no anointing in it. They aren't even doing it anymore. They don't even do the stuff anymore. They sit around and preach healing, and my God, if they didn't have the doctors, they'd be dead tomorrow. They don't operate in faith in anything. I mean, they get over into things. You can't do that. You got to stay sharp at what you do. You got to keep yourself over. This is why they say, you know, when people get older, their memory goes. Their memory didn't go. They just never used their brain. That's what happens to most people. You know, they found this out in the studies they did even concerning Alzheimer's, that people who used their mind and continued to work in things longer, they had less deterioration. Why? If you don't use your mind, you have no need of it. There's a lot of people, they ain't got no need of it, I'll tell you. There's loads of people, they ain't got no need for a brain because they ain't ever using it. So you sound ugly. Well, it should. We need an awakening. If we don't awaken, who's going to? Somebody has to awaken. Somebody has to step up to this thing. You need to concentrate your mind with the strictest self-control. That's the only way this is going to take place. You got to give the Word of God predominance. Look what God said to Joshua. Look over. We've read these scriptures before. You've heard these, and Joshua is the first chapter. What God told Joshua to do. Understand, this principle does not change from Old Testament to New Testament. This is the same thing. You know, we might not be under the law, but understand the Mosaic law with offering sacrifices. But the principles stay the same. They have never changed. The principles stay the same from Old Testament to New Testament. God what? Changes not. Most people have a different God. They think we got a new one. You know, this ain't the same guy. Well, he's the same guy. Look, Joshua in 1 verse 7. Listen what God, this is God speaking to Joshua. He said, only be strong and very courageous. Now I want you to see this. Did he say, I'm going to make you strong and courageous? Did he say that? You do it. You make yourself strong and courageous. You do it. Quit asking God, oh, God, strengthen me. You be strong. Step up. You can't do it if you ain't in the Word. You won't be strong and courageous. You can ask all you want and you'll never get there. He said, only be strong and courageous. What? What's the purpose of being strong and courageous? So I can do what I want to do. He said, so you may observe to do according to all the law, or we would say today, the word, which Moses, my servant, commands you. In other words, the word that we're commanded, Why are you supposed to be strong and courageous? Because you're going to do the word. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring priests but a sword. Jesus said, I'm going to put family members against one another. Why? You start walking by the word of God and you ain't going to make a lot of people happy, even family members. Oh, we want to keep peace in the family. I want to keep peace with God. He's number one on my list. Not mama, dad, brother, sister, wife. They're not number one on the list. I found this out. The more I walk with God, the happier my wife got. At first, she didn't know. She thought I was crazy. Like I told you about, the things that I did concerning standing in faith. God didn't have me make it easier on her. You want this nice, easy faith life or something, forget it. It ain't here. There ain't one. Faith is contrary to everything natural. And if you want naturally everything to line up and that stuff, forget it. It don't do that. This faith life is running into things that are natural, and you run into it and you're doing the unnatural, and everybody thinks you're a nut. Everybody thinks you're crazy. So the guy finally admits and says to Mike, even your roosters lay eggs. He had to finally admit it. Why? Mike's running contrary. But the guy admits, he gets blessed. And the guy says to him, even your roosters lay eggs. Showing up. Are your roosters laying eggs? You can't even get the hens to lay. That's most of Christianity. They can't get the hens to lay either. See, you follow. There's principles of life. There are things that you follow. He said you observe to do according. You do what the word says. What does he say about it? Don't turn from it to the right hand or the left hand. Why? That you may prosper wherever you go. In other words, the more exact we follow the word, the more we will see God's prosperity in our lives. That doesn't mean just get money. That doesn't mean get stuff. Number one, I'm going to tell you what. Do you want peace in your house? I'm going to tell you what. I'd rather have peace in the house I live in than have a big paycheck. John Paul Getty made this statement. He said he would have given up all his wealth. This guy was rich. His day, man, he'd be considered a billionaire. He was, I guess, when he died anyhow. But anyhow, Getty said, he said, I would give up all my wealth to have just had one good marriage. Can you imagine? That's what you come to at the end of your life. That's what you come to. There's loads of Christians come to that's their end of their life. They ain't had a good life. Oh, they had things and went through all this stuff, but they haven't had a good life. The things that they would really have and the things that you'd treasure. See, what do you want? What do you treasure? Where your treasure, that's where your heart's really at. That's where it's at. It's tied to those things. It's amazing that people have to come to the place of death to find out what's important. It's a little late. I don't want to go to that place, do you? Do you want to reach a place of death to finally find out what you should have done? I don't want to go there. I think people arrive at that place in life. Well, let's read on to more of this. He said, prosper. What he said. Now, look what he said. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you don't take it out of your mouth. You keep those words in there. That's what you're saying. He said, but what's that? Meditate on it every once in a while when you get a chance. Whenever it works out and you're not so busy and using that excuse to other people. You just don't understand how busy I am. I understand this. You're not going to have God's prosperity in your life. See, what's important? You're going to have to lay some things down. You have to lay down. Sometimes you have to stop and do things. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Day and night. That you may observe to do. Observe to do according to all that's written in it. I don't even know all that's written in it yet. I know the words that are written and I've read over them already, but I don't have a revelation of it all. Do you? So I'm still working at it. But when revelation comes, we've got to do it. He said, what? What's going to happen? When you meditate in it day and night, when you do all according to what's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And he said, did God say, I'll prosper you? He said, you'll prosper you. God's not going to prosper you. Did you know that? You prosper you. He gives you the means to do it. It's like a guy who hires you on a job. You'll prosper by going to work and doing the work and getting a paycheck. He's not going to send you, at least if he has half a brain, he's not sending you a paycheck while you stay at home. He's not in a political party. He doesn't believe. God does not run a welfare system. What? Then you will make your way prosperous. Then. When? Then. What? When? When's this then? When you have meditated day and night and done it all. Done what? What you meditated on. Do it. Put it to practice. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. When you find out what the Word says and you do what the Word says, success will come. You don't get success because you read it. You don't get success because you know what it said. You get success because you did it. See, you got to get, it takes time. Even though there's times I knew what the Word said, but I had a hard time in my flesh doing it. I'll tell you what, my flesh didn't like it when, you know, I used the illustration a couple of weeks ago about Wanda when she was, you know, called me at work about Alyssa throwing up blood. You know, my flesh didn't want to do what I did, but I knew in the inside what I had to do. See, what I was doing was operating in an unseen realm. I believed what I couldn't see was true. See, you're going to decide what you see you think's true or what you believe you think's true because your actions, whatever you act on, is the outcome that you get. You need to understand that. You don't get the outcome of what you believe. People don't get saved because they believe in Jesus. They must confess Him. They must do something. They got to confess Him. They believe and they make a confession to be saved. There are people in hell today who believe Jesus was Lord, but they never received Him. They're in hell today. You can have the knowledge of what to do and never experience the blessing of it until you do it. It can only have the blessing through the doing, not through the knowing. Although we want to know. Folks, you definitely want to know. You definitely want to find out. You know, in Colossians, Paul 3:10, Paul said, and having put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge. See, there's a knowledge. We got to gain knowledge. He's renewed in knowledge. What? According to the image of Him who created Him. We want to gain knowledge. You have to. We gain knowledge, but the knowledge must be put together and done. That's how you become perfected at what's doing. That's why after years of walking in this thing and learning how healing and how divine healing worked, that's what the Lord said to me one day. He said, you tell people this. If they will listen to what you teach and do what you tell them to do, you tell them they'll get healed every time. Why? Because I had practiced it and read it, understood it and did it till I could get it working. You know, at first when I started off, it weren't working well. In the natural, it's the same way. There's not one of you when you first started off in the area that you're working in today, you were real good at it. You weren't. Man, when I started off and even God, and this, you know, that's why people think somebody turns around and gets, you know, born again and God gives them a gift to teach or preach the word. That don't mean they're going to be a good teacher or preacher. You get good from the practice and practicing that anointing and practicing under that anointing and practicing teaching and getting into the word and studying the word and practicing the word. You know, nobody should be teaching or preaching what they don't do. What you don't do, you shouldn't be telling somebody else to do it. You should be ashamed to do that. You need to stop and get yourself over where you stop and say, hey, hold it. I'm telling you this because I know it works. Believe it. Whether you understand or not, people don't grab a hold of it because you say to do it. That doesn't, just because you've given somebody what to do, you're not gripped. So the Lord said to me, he said, the more confident you are concerning the word and how it works and what it does, he said, the more you'll grip people's heart to bring them to a place of faith. You see, it's in anything. It's like I've said, you know, before about, you know, I remember, you know, I was watching a guy laying brick and he wanted to show me about laying brick. And, you know, and I, you know, he made it, my God, he's just going to town laying brick, made it really pretty. And I'll tell you what, I went and started to lay brick. He said, here, just try this thing out. And I think, my God, what a disaster. Dear Lord. He had it so easy. But see, he was trained at it. His mind had worked. He had worked and labored at that. He was good at it. And I could see, I could understand. I'll be the guy that carries the bricks for now, okay? We'll just do that. What do you think? I'll be the guy that carries it. I'll mix up some mud for you over here. We'll do that one. I can do that. I can do that. I can mix mud. You might even have to tell me once in a while how to do that right. But you'll turn around and get good at it. But anything you practice at, you'll get good at. See, he had years and years of practice. He could just lay those and just look beautiful, just, man, just down the line. He had it. That was an art. I mean, he was doing it. But see, doing this thing. I mean, he was an expert at what he was doing. What he did, he was an expert at. To me, I wasn't. See, he told me everything I needed to know to do, but I hadn't practiced it. And that's one thing. I'm just saying that. Some of you, that's been your difficulty. You're trying to get things to work based on your knowledge, but you don't ever do it. You think just because you believe it, you made some confessions. Good luck. Confession ain't enough. Confession's not the end, it's a beginning. Now you got to start acting like it's true, what you just said. Oh, but I still feel bad. So I definitely want to stay home as much as I can. It gets touchy with people. You get over these areas. See, people, why? Because to operate against it, it is contrary. Because you will have everything that they tell us is contrary. See, this is one of the things, is like myself, I knew at different times that God dealt with me as something. I thought, you know, I've thought over the years, you know, my God, if I went to a doctor, I'd have made him crazy. Because I wasn't going to do what he said. You know, I've never understood people. They go to doctors and then don't do what they say. What'd you waste your time going to the doctor for? Not going to do what he says. You're an idiot. You don't listen to him or God. Get over in faith. Now, I'm not against doctors. Thank God. Doctors have done wonderful things and helped a lot of people. There's a lot of people, good Christians, would be dead. Wouldn't be for doctors. There's nothing wrong with that standpoint. But we need to get over in the areas. What I'd realize what is where I'm walking at, it would be dumb for me to go, because where I'm going to stand and what I'm going to do is different than what he's going, because I'm not going by what I see and I'm not going by his tests. Even as his tests tell you naturally, which is might be correct about what's going on. It might be. But I'm not after a natural healing. So I'm not after that. So that's what I'm not after. That's what I have to decide. So you got to decide where you can stand. You can't stand where you haven't studied and learned and practiced. If you haven't practiced, that's why I'm always telling you. If you haven't practiced another thing, you don't practice on headaches, you don't jump into cancer. You don't go there. It ain't going to work. You're not going to be able to do it. Go to the doctor. Get all the help you can get. You know, believe God as far as you can, but you need to understand this is how it works. It's what you train at. It's what you learn, and you keep putting it to work. It doesn't happen overnight. Bringing your flesh into alignment, because the whole thing, you understand this, you're going to have the fight of your flesh. That's where the fight starts, because your flesh is going to be contrary to you about what you're doing. Because if what you're doing is happens to, it's based on the unseen, the flesh ain't happy with it. The flesh loves the seen. It loves the feel good. It all has to have all of that first. The flesh will believe anything that makes it comfortable. That's why people take drugs and do bad problems in life. Their flesh is unhappy. They take a drug, they feel better. See, let's make the flesh happy. Let's make it happy right away, as soon as we can. Let's get the flesh happy immediately. And many Christians are the same way faith-wise. Their whole idea is get the flesh happy first. Faith comes before the flesh is happy. And this is what people don't like. This is the hard part. This is the faith fight. This is the place. You're operating over here. You don't see or feel the right thing at all.
You don't hear the right thing at all. All you've read it in the book and you know that it's true. You know that it's right. And the Bible says, do this. And say, But I'd like to, your flesh is over here. What are you doing? You're crazy. You know, many times, you folks, you thought the devil talked to you, and it wasn't your devil. It was your flesh telling you that you've listened to so much. It's been talking to you, and it wasn't the devil. It's your own flesh. The Bible talks about the mind of the spirit. Well, I want to tell you, the flesh has a mind. And the flesh is loud. And the flesh don't like it when it don't get its pampered and it something don't just fix up right way for it. The flesh don't like that. The flesh likes problems solved instantly. That's why we have so much trouble in our nation today. That's what the Congress is trying to be take care of all the fleshly people, even Christians in our nation, to keep them happy all the time. To fix problems immediately because nobody can stand their flesh unhappy for any amount of time. I found this a long time ago. The only way I can keep my flesh happy is to dominate it. Is tell it you get right or I'll knock you out. You feel bad, keep screaming. I'll let you suffer longer, you idiot. You got to deal with it. You got to tell your flesh, I ain't playing your game. I'm not going to be moved by it. See, this is, I'm talking about, this is how you get over into the miracle side. This is how you get into the miraculous. You don't get in the miraculous through the side of the flesh. You don't get it there just by confession. You can make confessions and know they're true, but if you can't act in line with it, you're not. The flesh is going to rule. The flesh is going to rule. It's going to rule. It's going to rule and reign. But the Lord said to me, he said, the reason you've seen so many supernatural things, he said, basically what he's saying to me, you do crazy stuff. See, it's not craziness in the realm of the spirit, but it's crazy to the natural, to the side. You do extreme stuff. See, they're extreme, not from the spiritual side, it's not an extreme, but to the natural, it's extreme. It is extreme today to not cater to your flesh. That's extreme today. That's the extreme today. Don't cater to the flesh and you're extremist. Something. Today, it's that you do everything to keep the flesh happy. Appearance is everything. The appearance of spirituality today is more important than spirituality. We have a lot of whitewashed tombs in the church. A lot of whitewashed tombs. They look good outside, but inside they're full of death. And people crave to them and follow after a lot of whitewashed tombs because outside it looks good. But they can't even, because they're not spiritual, they can't tell if they are or not. If you're not spiritual, you can't tell if a person is or not. How do you tell somebody spiritual? If you ain't, how do you figure it out? Oh, man, am I meddling today or what? I tell you what, it's getting ugly. But to me, this is just, this is where I've been for my Christian walk. I mean, this is just the way it is. I didn't know. Nobody told me it was supposed to be different. I just thought, I sat under somebody taught me that these are the things that you do. I mean, I don't know how many times I heard Kenneth Hagin teach and go over to Joshua. This is what you got to do. Here, Joshua. I just thought that was the norm. I didn't think that was an exceptional teaching, and it's not. But it's exceptional in the church today. But I want to tell you what, that's first grade Christianity. Most Christians have never got to first grade. A lot of them, most of Christians today never even made it to Christian kindergarten. These are just basic stuff. I don't know, I mean, if you think about from an educational standpoint, now, like Sherry, like her education, like she is, she's majors, especially math in the areas of math, and she has an expertise in that. I mean, she's good at it. She educates and she teaches on there. But, she could stand up in front of those kids and stand in front of people. Now she teaches teachers because teachers come out of college dumb as a stick and they don't know nothing. So you have to teach a teacher how to teach. Just think of it. This is what we're doing today. This is America. What a stupid place, filled with ignoramuses
And we vote for them because they say they're conservatives. They're stupid. She has to teach them. But what if she just told the kids about it? And said, you don't ever do it. No, no. There'll never be a test. They'll never be. And so what do they do today? The kids are so dumb they can't pass the test. So now we fix the test so the kids pass whether they do good on the test or not. This is the answer today to dumb America. You teach your kids to love education. You better like education or you're going to be a pain in everybody's rear end in society. It's good preaching. Education's a wonderful thing to educate. Be smart. Be smart. Don't be a dummy. Be good at things. Know something. My God. You know, I remember Randall Greer said, he says this all the time over the years. I've heard him say this. He said that the church should be the most intelligent group in America, here in our nation. We should be the most intelligent. Boy, what a shame that is. Wow. First thing God did for me was made me brighter. When I got born again, I mean, I had what, you know, today they call a, you know, you'd have one of these, some kind of disability of some sort when it came to there. You know, I had a, you know, from certain things of education-wise. And all I did is I went to the Word of God and I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about having the mind of Christ. And he talked about that. He told about when he went from when he got born again. He was 15 years old, I guess, when he got born again. 15, he got raised off the bed of sickness. But he talked about he was a straight F student, a failure student. That on their day they did D's. The D was the lowest grade you could get. Today we add them, man. You got 15. You can get 2% and pass. They have a grade for it now, you know. That's dumb. It used to be you had to get up into 20% to really to make it. Now it's if you even make 20%, you pass. and anyhow, you know, he talked about that. He said I went to a straight A student. And I thought about that. I thought, whoa. So he talked about having the mind of Christ and things. So I started, first of all, I made a confession that I had the mind of Christ. I thought, because I got thinking about this. I thought, does Jesus have trouble with any things of education or reading and understanding? Does he have any trouble remembering things? Jesus wouldn't have trouble with that, the mind of Christ. I mean, he wouldn't be having any trouble with this. So if I have the mind of Christ, I don't have that problem. Now, number one, I had to change the way I think. But then I had to change what I did. I didn't stay away from education and reading and all that kind of stuff. I started doing it. I started sitting down and studying the Bible. I started doing things. I started doing that. See, the confession would have been no good if I hadn't started. I had to act like I had a good mind. And when I first started off, it didn't seem like it was working at all. But I kept doing it, and I was amazed. Over about a six-month period, I was amazed what has started happening to me. When I went to Bible school, I went through with straight A's. I'd have never done that one before. That would have never happened. I went to Bible school, and I tell you, it was just downright easy for me. Bible school was simple. Wasn't hard at all. People, they struggled in doing things and that stuff. And I mean, I worked 45 hours a week, went to school and still worked 45 hours a week and turned around and passed straight A's. Most people today can't even read their Bible if they have to work 45 hours a week. They ain't got time to read the Bible. They can't pray. I just ain't got time. I'm so busy. Nobody ever talked to me about busy. I can tell you about busy. I'll tell you what busy's about. I've been there and lived there. And you know what? Did good living there, doing it, and never neglected God. How do you do that? Well, you don't do it walking in the mind of the flesh. You're living in the flesh, you're not going to go there and find this stuff out. It don't happen. It's not something that just rains out of heaven. Like Kenneth Hagin, you say, it's not like ripe cherries dropping off a tree and they're just going to hit you on the head and you pick them up off the ground and eat them. It don't go that way. I have never had it happen that way. I'm going to tell you, spiritual development is work. And your flesh fights you when you go against what's the norm and what's can be seen, and it's going to fight you on it. But my flesh has come to the point that this man's an idiot. He ain't going to listen to me at all. He won't pay any attention. Over time,
Yet my flesh has found out. There's things that I just completely ignore it in. But I found out the need to do it. You have to do that. You'd find out how much time you'd have on your hands if you spent less time concerning your flesh and trying to keep it happy. You wouldn't believe how much time you spend trying to, for your own personal comfort. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, just miss a meal every once in a while. See what happens to your flesh. Listen to it scream at you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Word of God's important, but lunch is here. And my stomach just keeps growling when I read the Bible, you know, when I read it, and especially when I pray. Yeah, when I'm praying. I'll tell you what, when we're praying, I'll tell you what. Lunch is served. Let's go. Come on. Yeah. I'm sorry, you just come here, you have to put up with me. But it's amazing. You folks, we need to come around this thing and be real about ourselves and sit down with ourselves and say, look, flesh. Decide we're going to become doers of the word. I want to encourage you that the most is begin to practice. Find ways. Sit down. Ask God. You know, where am I missing it? Where am I not doing the word at? Where am I just sort of, well, I know what the Bible says. How do you put it? How do you apply it? When I first got born again, I always had Kenneth Hagin talk about doing the word. And at first that didn't relate to me. What does he mean by doing it? Like to me today, it's just the normal, but it just didn't dawn on me. And then I've told you guys the stories where then I woke up the one morning to go to work and I was just downright sick. I'm going to tell you what, my body didn't feel good at all. And for a while, there was no improvement. It didn't seem a bit, but I was there like, laying there in a bed, just, well, I'm going to believe the word. Now, see, I was believing the word and even confess what the word said. And the Lord said this to me, because the thought just went through my mind. I was going to call off work sick. I'm going to call off work sick, but I'll believe God, I'm healed. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me from the inside, said to me, if you call off sick, you're going to lay in bed sick all day. Now, understand this. I'm just a young Christian, just born again a few months. Most Spirit-filled Christians, they can be 20, 30 years as a Christian, a Spirit-filled Christian, and God can't talk to them in that manner. It's why? Because they've spent so many years of not doing the Word. They can't hear no more. And I said to the Lord, when the Lord said that, I was like, whoa, what do you mean? The Lord said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? See, I had made the confession, now he's asking me if I believe it. So I told him I believed it and confessed it again. And you know what he had the nerve to say to me? I found out that day that my confession wasn't going to produce anything till I did what it said. He said, if you believe you're healed, then get up and act like it. See, if you don't like me saying these things to you, get over it. God said it to me, so if you can't put up with it, too bad. Whiner. I had to go through the thing of, why do you talk to me like this, Lord? Why don't you do that to somebody else? Go to Mike's house. Tell him. None of you ever thought that way, right? Why don't you go bother this person? Leave me alone. I was over, I'm just doing that. Don't you see that ugly thing that person did over there and you're complaining to me about this? You know? You guys will get over it. Folks, laugh. Laugh. Keep you from crying. See, but the Lord told me that. See, my confession wasn't going to produce anything till I act like what I said was true. And you know what? So I got out of bed. Didn't feel a bit better. I'm obeying, but the physical thing's not changing. But see, I got to continue believing, and I'm acting against it. You're never going to come to the place of strong faith to have everything happen to you instantly. You'll never have strong faith. If everything happened instantly, you would never come to the place of faith and patience inherits the promise. You're going to have to do that. You've got to come to the place where you will stand and your flesh don't like it, but you stand to the place
Because your flesh will never quit screaming till you can bring it under control. And you can't bring it under control instantly. And you're going to have to learn to stand when your flesh is saying everything different. And bring it to pay. You know, I've often thought, the wonderful letters that Paul wrote from prison. I used to think, man, I want to be able to keep my flesh in that place where I ain't writing a book about my prison experience and how bad the tough things that I went through. That I want to be like Paul. I want to write letters that bless people. Not how bad Ed's having it in prison. Oh, man, you send a Christian today to jail, they write a book of how bad jail was. I want to be like Paul. Don't you? I want to say, flesh, you shut up. This is not about glorifying Ed and what he went through. Let's glorify God a little bit. And I could just hear my flesh say, well, you ought to tell them what they're doing to you. You ought to say something. Oh, you might as well laugh. You do it all the time. Let me tell you what they did. You don't know how they treated me. They said. It's hard laughing about this stuff, ain't it? When you're I can laugh at it now. Been through it, done it, gotten cheated, you know. It don't matter anymore. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. If you can. You got to get happy, people. You got to smile. God ain't here to kill you. He's trying to teach you how to overcome. Greater is he that's in you than it's in the world. He's greater than your flesh. Aren't you glad? My God, I'd hate to think there was nothing greater than my flesh. I'd hate to think such a thing. My God, my flesh. What am I going to do with this thing? It will be subdued. It will be all brought under submission. Hallelujah. I can bring my flesh under submission to Christ. I can do that. Hallelujah. I can bring my flesh under submission to the Word. I can act out the Word of God no matter what my flesh says about it. I can do the Word. See, you got to get those things on. Begin to renew your mind. Hallelujah. Begin to say the right things. You know, it's just like, you know, and I made a statement, you know, people talk about having enough time. You should never be talking that. You know, that is really, you're just degrading and running yourself down and making yourself spiritually stupid by sitting around and keep making excuses, saying that excuse that you don't have time to get in the Word. I'm just so busy and I don't have time. When you know what's right to do, you start making a confession in your life. I have time. I can do the right things. I can follow the Word of God. I can do it. You start saying, you'll never, ever begin to do it. Keep saying what you're saying. It'll never happen. First of all, you got to educate yourself. Get yourself saying the right things. That's where it starts. And when it starts off, it might like seem none of this is ever going to come true. I'm saying this, and you know what? The devil will say you're lying, and even your flesh will say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. No. And the devil's saying, boy, you know, you're making that confession, and you ain't doing it at all. And even your own unrenewed mind will want to talk to you about it. But you need to consider, get those things on your voice. Begin to say them. Start taking time to act out and start to act in line with the Word. Start doing things to act in line with the Word of God. You know, it's like the Lord told me to tell a guy one time about healing. You know, he said, because this guy was dealing with a huge thing. And the Lord said, go ask him how you eat an elephant. And I said to him, I thought, this sounds stupid. See, your flesh. See, this is why most people wouldn't operate in the gift of the Spirit if it happened anyhow, because God will tell you to do something that don't sound right. See, it don't sound right. Why do you go ask a guy how to eat? He needs healing, and ask him how to eat an elephant. And I said to him, how do you eat an elephant? And he just looked at me. I said, one bite at a time. I said, the reason, and God's going to give him wisdom. I said, the reason, now this didn't come to me. I said, the reason you haven't had success, you're trying to take the whole thing and you can't. You're not in a position spiritually to take the whole thing. You've got to take the part you can. And then you grow, take a little more, take a little more, take a little more. This is why lots of people, I'm just saying here, people in here haven't got healed because they don't ever take the bites that they need. They want the whole ball of wax, but their faith ain't at the place of the whole ball. I've been there. I know what it's like. I've learned to take what I can. Because that's how your faith grows. Taking what you can. That's why I tell you, start with headaches. Don't go after cancer. You start with headaches. You start with little things you can take a bite into. And you can get a hold of that thing, and you can train your faith around that thing. And you get a hold of that, and you start practicing it. And what will happen? Once that happens to you, it works. You're like, my God, whew, I can do this. And you'll take a step to something else. You'll take the next step to the next thing. It's what we do naturally in education. We start off teaching adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. We don't start off with calculus. We don't start there. I didn't even like it when I got to it my senior year. I didn't like calculus. But I thought, what is this? But anyhow, going through all those things of education, but we do. Naturally, this is what we do. Why would we think it would be different spiritually? What makes... I just don't get it. Jesus constantly told parables. He used the natural to tell you how the spiritual works. And it's no different. Nothing's changed. From the time of the Word of God, it's just like a farmer planting a seed. And then that thing gets watered. And it grows up. And you know what? It takes time. Oh, I'm sorry. We want instantaneous faith. Jesus tried to tell us, it ain't happening. There's things that you grow, the fruit of it produces, but it's over time of the maturity of that seed developed. And we need to understand, these are the principles. It's the principles. We use principles, and it's amazing. That's why Jesus said, he said, you know, the world, you know, is wiser than the children of the kingdom. They're practicing principles out here, and the children of the kingdom sit over there, and it comes to spirituality, act like it's some kind of real weird science. It's no weird science. You look around the things that we practice and do around us all the time of how it takes to grow up spiritually. It's just like naturally how we teach people. Well, spiritually, I got to find those principles in the Bible, and then I apply the same manner and the same principles. I start at the little things, and I develop the big. You know, I don't decide to walk up the stairs and say, you know what, I want the top step now. Well, when they find you at the bottom with your neck broken at the bottom of the stairway and haul you off, you know, just, dear God. But that's the church. The church, I don't understand it. It's always trying to reach for the top, just bypass everything along with the bottom. In life, we don't do that. On life, we don't start that way. We start off on the bottom of things and we turn around and learn the simple things and then add on and add on and add on and add on. And you know what? It's tedious. And you know the worst thing that your flesh will hate about it is this. To constantly having to do the same thing over and over and over again. Education. No one ever gets educated hearing one time. If you're a person that don't like to hear things more than 50 times, you're going to always be problem on education-wise for you. Education is a constant. A constantly going over things and going over things. When I was in the service as electronics, they trained us electronics. I attended a number of schools. When they'd bring new equipment out, they'd send you to schools. And it was always amazing this, because every time I attended classes for a new type of equipment, they would also always go over basic things about certain things of electronics with you before they started talking about what the new equipment does. Why? Because if you don't have the basics, forget the rest of the talk. You ain't going to learn nothing. They go over it. Why? Because the foundation of everything is laid in that. There's a foundational principles laid in everything. The Word of God's the same way. If you can't bypass the principles. Paul wrote and told them, they said, look, you guys, when you're supposed to be up here mature, we're having to go down, take you back to the basic things again. They never learned the basics. You don't walk and live in the basics. You stay, you understand the basics, you go over the basics. That's the way life is. You can't throw adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing out and go on to higher math. There is no higher math without it. There is none. If you can't learn it, there's things that people, you can't learn and you can't go to. If you learn, you know, that's why today I think it's so awful. They're sending kids up through class and move them on to the next grade and they haven't learned the grade before. You just sent somebody on to fail at life.
You just made a failure in life. He's going to try to do next year's stuff and ain't got the stuff that he needed from the year before to be proficient at that next level. And this is what we call educators. These are the ones we call professionals today. There aren't many professionals out here today anymore. They're gone. They're people with degrees from places, and the degree is what matters. Not knowing how to do a thing don't matter at all. It's you have a degree that says you have a certain thing that you can't do at all. It doesn't matter. So one thing is, over the years, I'm interested in who can do something. I don't care what you think you know. We'll find out when it comes to the doing. We'll find out in short order when it comes to the doing. We'll see who knows what. You know, as Randy Greer talked about his son. This is a good thing. His son. Like, his son graduated, you know, straight A's, and, you know, was all these high honors and stuff out of space and aerial science and all that kind of stuff he did concerning flying. And Randy Greer talked about, he said, you know all this stuff and know all these things, but he said, I'm going to tell you what, he said, you're never going to get over me concerning flying, because he said, I have experience. He said, when it comes down to flying and being in problems, I know how to correct problems. I know how to do stuff. Why? Experience always outshoots anybody in education. I don't care. Don't go running around and quoting the Word of God if you ain't doing nothing, because you don't know nothing. You don't know how to do it. It's how to do it is what you want to do. How to do it. You got something. In natural life, it's the same way. Don't tell me what you know. What can you do? You know? Don't tell me about mowing a yard. Mow it. Don't tell me you know how that lawnmower runs. I don't care. Get on it and drive that Saturday and mow that yard. Do something with it. I'm not interested in what you know. What you doing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you today. Thank you, Lord God, you're talking to all of us. Hallelujah. Father God, there's so many things that we need to hear. Lord God, Lord, when I think about these things, I realize, Lord, that you're trying to take us to a place where many people over the years used to walk, that people were at and walked and lived in. Lord God, you're not trying to take us above something. You're just trying to take us to the norm. Oh, Lord, you sure have had a job with us. You sure had a job with us, but you stayed with it. Hallelujah. You just kept taking us back over and taking us back over. You patiently, Lord God, Lord, you didn't promote us without us without us learning. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for being a great teacher. And Holy Spirit, thank you for taking what belongs to Jesus and revealing it to us. Thank you for giving us wisdom beyond our years and through the time, Lord God, giving us understanding concerning the Word of God, giving us the ability, Lord God, not to just say these things, but to live these things and walk in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, I want to thank you for grace, Lord God. Grace is not something, Lord God. Thank you for teaching us. Grace ain't something to get by with anything. Grace is your ability working in us. And I thank you, Lord God, you have given us abundance of grace. Your word says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Lord, we have no excuse for sin then today. Grace must be abounding hugely. Hallelujah. Because, Lord God, grace is always greater than sin. Grace is always will overcome sin. And so we thank you. Father, we yield to grace today in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you've given us ability. And Lord, it's supernatural. And Father God, sometimes we haven't used it or we haven't been good with it. And so forgive us for that, Lord God. But Lord God, we take a hold of the grace. And you said that we were supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Surely, Lord God, we definitely need grace to help in time of need. Lord God, there's a need for the great grace of God that we need to take a hold of. Lord God, wisdom. I want to thank you, Lord, because the word says wisdom cries out in the streets. Lord God, I want to thank you. Wisdom's crying out to us all the time. And I want to thank you. We have an ear to hear that wisdom. We have ears to hear in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're not turning away back to the ways, Lord, of the past, to where we walked in the past. But Lord God, we're hearing that wisdom today. It's coming. And it's clear. It's being spoken. It's not muffled.
It says it cries out in the streets so we can hear it. Hallelujah. And I thank you the Holy Ghost is speaking it. I thank you He's inside of each one of us to teaching us. And Holy Spirit, we don't want just understanding the word. We want to know how to do it, how to walk in it. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to be doers of the word. Teach us how to act on the word of God. Explain to us, hallelujah. Give us places to put that word to work, hallelujah, so we can become educated in it, Lord God, not just by hearing, but by doing. Where, Lord God, we want that new mind, that transformed mind, the mind that's not like it has been before. I thank you where you've taken us to, but Lord, I can see that there's places, oh, that I need to reach that are out beyond, Lord God. I can see that by the word, but Lord God, I haven't walked in that place, but Lord, I want to be taught to go there. I want to be able to taught to act there, Lord God, and walk in that place. Lord, the word says all things are possible to him that believeth. And Lord God, oh, the believing sure comes short. It sure many times has come short because, Lord God, many times we have set possibilities and impossibilities. We have done those things, but Father God, we want to walk in that place. Hallelujah. Where we walk with this God who does the impossible. Hallelujah. Who does the impossible, and it becomes the norm to us to walk in that place of impossible in the natural minds of men. But to us, it becomes the norm. It becomes the place where we walk. Hallelujah. And we don't think some other way about it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, especially in the areas, Lord God, concerning healing. Especially in that area, Lord God, to give wisdom to people here. Give them wisdom, Lord God, on what to act and do. What to act and do for themselves. Lord, it's your great desire for them to be well. Lord God, if anything you love your children to be well and sound in their bodies. That's your great desire for your people. You want them well. You told me years ago, Lord God, when their body dominates them and rules over them, Lord God, they can't do or walk where you want them to walk in and do. And Lord God, so it's your desire. You want your people well and whole. And Lord God, teach us and instruct us, just as, Lord God, you taught me on what to do. Lord, in the same way, Lord God, I thank you through the simplicity of your word and through the simplicity of the Holy Spirit to bring instruction, Lord God, of what to act and do, Lord God, so they can take a hold of what belongs to them and fulfill your purposes and desires in their life. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, as John prayed that we'd prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Lord God, we know when there's health and prosperity problems, there's a mind problem. There's a thinking problem. There's a problem in those areas. And Lord God, Lord, you've provided the way to change that and to take that problem, Lord God, and Lord God, deal with that thing, Lord, in our minds. We're no longer, it's a problem, but Father God, it's a problem solved. Lord God, it's a problem understood and comprehended. And Lord God, that the word, the power of the word, hallelujah, will change that thing, will change that thing. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we need it changed. We need a change. Oh, Lord God, you want healing to flow like a river. You want healing in the church to be the norm. That healing is the norm. It's not something that we try to get, but Lord God, that's something that we have. It's something that we have. It's something that we have. It's something that we have. Father God, that it comes into our minds, it's something that we have. We're not trying to get it. It was given to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ himself took those infirmities. Hallelujah. So they're taken. Hallelujah. I'm so glad they're taken today. I'm so glad my infirmities are taken in the name of Jesus. I'm so glad my infirmities are taken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for taking them. Hallelujah. I don't have them anymore. Hallelujah. I don't have them anymore. You took them and I'm not taking them back either. Hallelujah. I'm not taking them back. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. By your stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm healed. I'm so glad that I'm healed. I'm so glad that my body is healed in the name of Jesus. I'm so glad, Lord God, I'm not trying to get healed anymore. I'm so excited, Lord God, that my body's well and strong in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Body, shut up in the name of Jesus and submit yourself to the Word of God. You will come in line with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Body, you will obey because, Lord God, the Word says, and James wrote it himself and said, if I can control my tongue, I can control my whole body. So, body, shut up, sit down, be quiet. Hallelujah. And obey. obey the word of God. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Body, you will obey the word of God. Hallelujah. You have no choice. I'm not giving you one. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. I'm strong and I'm courageous. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm successful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, that did me good. Now, me saying that, it might be nice for you to hear, but it won't do for you what it did for me. It won't do for you what it did for me. You hearing me say that will not do for you what it did for me. It's one of the way we put the word, so you can know what the word says. One of the way to put word to action is what you say. Hallelujah. See, my body might want to talk different, but I'm not giving it a choice. I refuse to give my body my voice. I refuse to. I refuse to give my body my voice. I refuse to give my body my voice. Faith is spoken from the heart. That's why you got to get sickness out of your heart. Because if it gets in your heart and you keep saying the wrong things, it gets into your heart, and after a while you're speaking those things out of your heart. See, my heart won't go along with that. I won't let that stop. I won't let things like that get into my heart. I won't do that. Why? Because faith is of the heart. And you don't let it get in there. See, you keep... You say it, get it out, and then act like it's true. Starting to act like it's true. You know? So you sit down and go, we believe you're healed. That's why I'm concerning people lots of times that I've never understood over the years and that stuff of people. And I just, you know, say this and doing it. The Bible says, you know, you get sick, call for the elders of church. 99.99% of the time, the church is going to have to call on the sick person. Christians ain't going to obey the word. They wonder why it don't work. And then on top of it, you know, we say, oh, we believe in healing and all that kind of stuff. And if we feel bad, you know, I've never met a person that got, you know, sick and turned around and said, you know, well, I'm not, you know, wanting to go to the doctor. Boy, they didn't care what their doctor's appointment was. They went whenever it was. But you can't go to church because you know why? We believe in healing, but you can't get it. See, the doctor, I believe the doctor can give it to me. I can sure go there and I'll go day or night at any time. And whenever they call me, I'll be there. Just call me. I'll be there. God calls and say, no, I was sick. I couldn't go to church. But you might think this seems like something hard to say. Well, you just don't understand. I understand more of it than you do. I know about me coming to church. I know what my body's been telling me already. Amen. You can't come at me with this thing. Because you know what? I believed I was going to be well. I believed my body was going to act in line with the Word of God. And it always has. Boy, didn't always do it right away. I mean, I've came to church already, and I'm going to tell you what, I sure didn't want to be a church. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to act on the Word of God. I believe there's healing. See, this might sound hard to you, but this is the things God dealt with me and taught me about healing. Acting like the Word's true. See, the church doesn't do these things today. We don't do this stuff. We want miracles by doing nothing but what the flesh wants to do. And desire the miracle. I want the miracle doing what the flesh wants. I'm going to do everything I can for the natural. Everything I can do for the natural. I'm going to do it. But my end result, what I want is a miracle. That sounds hard. I know it sounds hard, but I tell you what, it's not. You learn to do it. You know what? I can't wait to get to church because problems are going to get solved. Problems are going to get solved. You know how many times I've come to church and just acted on the Word of God is true, and I tell you, till I leave church, every symptom leave my body, everything is gone, I'm completely well. I've had that happen so many times over the years, I've learned to do it. I know it. I'm going to go to church and church is over, and for sure I'm going to be well and fine and it's okay. See, but I trained my body in that thing of knowing and not letting it do what it wanted to do. Well, I'm going to church and we're going to go to church and it's going to be all right.
Like I told you, Wanda said one time, you're going to go to church like that? You're terrible. Oh, man, you're in bad shape. I said, yeah, but I said, I can't. I got to act in line with the Word of God. I believe it's true. The Bible says I'm healed. I can't do something else. Well, my flesh sure wanted to. My flesh wanted to cry and stay home. See, these things sound hard, but you got to start to sit down and think again. What do you think when you think about healing? Have you been... got your mind changed over in that area? Did you get it changed into that area where you put on a new mind and thinking? Or is it still basically like it is in the world and how the world thinks about it? See, when I got the world in me, it changed me. And I know this for a fact. I was extreme to most people. They considered it being extreme. I was extreme. And to this day, I'm extreme. But I sure knew how to get divine healing. I know how to do it. So, you know, you call it for whatever you want. But I just want to say this. You can't get what I'm getting doing it a different way. I've learned that over the years. It don't work in the same manner. Understand that. It's not criticism. It's just, it's the way things are. It's just, it's the laws, the rules of things, you know. If you jump off of a building, if you and I jump off of a building together, and we're both going to hit the ground unless somebody's got lift. It's just the laws, the way it works. It's just the way it works. Decide you're going to have a different thinking. Decide, God... sit down. See, I used to sit down as a young Christian, ask the Lord, Lord, teach me. I want to know. I want to know how to live this. I want to know how to do it. I didn't want to just hear some information. I didn't just read the Bible. I don't sit down and read the Bible like most people read the Bible. I read the Bible. I got to learn something. I got to understand something. I need revelation. So when I read Scripture, I expect the Holy Spirit to bring things that understands things that I can use to live and to walk in. I don't need just a bunch of general information. I don't need an accumulation of information. What I need is things that I can apply and do and live. That's one of the things that I think the Bible's so small book for. It's because most people, they want an Encyclopedia Britannica, a Bible, and you don't need one. You can't even live the little one we got. Well, what do you think we take an offering for our missionaries? And I'll quit meddling. Glory to God. Hallelujah.